Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the Evergrande situation. And in today's video, we're going to talk about some assets that have just been sold to some state-owned trusts. So this is a completely different form of sale to anything that we've seen before. Previously, we've been talking about the sale of assets to state-owned property development companies, but this is a transfer to a state-owned trust. So in this video, I'll go through exactly what assets have been sold, what state-owned trusts are. We'll look at a concept of the right to debt, which has been exercised as part of these sales. So the state-owned trusts have actually taken on all of the debt that relates to these assets, and we'll talk about why they've done that. We'll then have a look at the terms of the deal that's been agreed, because there's potentially the option that the state-owned trusts will hand back some profit to Evergrande, but we'll talk about that later in the video. And then I'll talk to you about why this has been done, why these assets have been sold to these state-owned trusts, why Evergrande have not been allowed to carry on building out the projects themselves, and why these assets were not sold to the state-owned property development companies. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what's going on here, why these sales have been put together in this way, and what the implications are for Evergrande, Evergrande's bondholders, and the general bankruptcy situation of the group. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, I would really appreciate it if you could do that. And I'd also appreciate it if you could subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section that you're not particularly interested in, or you just want to get through to the summary at the end, it's really easy to skip through and jump to the section that you're looking for. Evergrande has just announced that it has sold a stake in four of its projects to state-owned trusts. Now, the nuance of this sale is quite different to the previous transfer of assets, whereby whole projects were being taken over by state-owned property development companies. What we've got here is state-owned trusts, which are actually just investment trusts. So these businesses are not property development companies. So this isn't a developer coming in and taking over the project on Evergrande's behalf. This is a financial investment vehicle that is taking over this project. So there's a lot of questions raised here as to why this is being done. And as part of this deal, the state-owned trusts are exercising what's known as a right to debt. So they are taking over all of the debt that relates to each of these projects. Now, the combined total of the four projects is 337 million, but that figure only relates to the headline equity value of the project, because the debt is moving with the project and therefore is not included in that figure of 337 million. Two of the projects are residential developments that have been bought by Everbright Trust, and they're in the tier one cities of Chuan Tuyng and Dong Duan. And the combined equity total for those two projects was $163 million. The other two projects were acquired by Min Metals Trust and relate to a housing project in Foshan and a theme park development in Guangzhou. And the combined total of those two projects was $174 million. The two projects that have been acquired by the Everbright Trust relate to housing developments in two relatively new tier one cities. Chuan Tuyng is a large city with a population of over 32 million people, and the landmass is roughly equivalent to the size of Austria. The city is the sixth largest in China by terms of GDP, and it's the biggest city in terms of the production of automobiles. It produces over 3 million vehicles per year, and it also produces over 58 million laptops and 280 million mobile phones each year. And because of its manufacturing history, it has the unwanted title of the fog capital of China. Dong Duan is also a relatively new tier one city, much smaller and has a population of 7.5 million. It's known predominantly for manufacturing and is linked with the classic phrase made in China because it produces a variety of goods for export. So lots of electronic goods and high-tech goods that are distributed all around the world. The housing project acquired by Minmetals Trust is in Foshan, which is also a relatively new Tier 1 city. It has a population of around 7.5 million and is also known for manufacturing. Now, one of the key issues here with regards to all three of these developments is that they're in Tier 1 cities. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that the Tier 1 cities are the most advanced in terms of GDP and economic growth in the whole of China, and therefore are the most attractive in terms of places to live. There's a lot more employment, and therefore there's a much higher demand for property. So the Tier 1 cities have actually fared much better than the Tier 2, 3 and 4 cities in terms of the recent slowdown in the property market and the fall in prices. And in the Tier 1 cities, the prices have held up relatively well. The volume of transactions have fallen, but overall, they're the most attractive places to be as a developer because there's still demand. In the event of a recession and the economy slowing down, as we're seeing right now in China, it's likely that the Tier 1 cities will do okay, whereas the lower ranked cities will struggle the most. So it's no coincidence here that the state-owned companies are taking away all of the Tier 1 assets because they're the most attractive. They're cherry-picking the best sites that Evergrande has in its portfolio and leaving behind the least attractive areas, which are in the Tier 3 and Tier 4 cities. The other asset that has been acquired here is an unfinished theme park. Now, this is quite a surprise because if you follow the channel, you'll know that I've posted a variety of videos on the theme parks, and these were a complete disaster for Evergrande. They came out a number of years ago and declared that they were going to be bigger and better than Disney, and they made a statement that they were going to build 15 theme parks all across China with a budget of $7 billion per theme park. So this was a bold statement, and of course, very few of those theme parks have been completed and opened. And it looked likely that they were all going to be left to rack and ruin. But we've now seen one of the state-owned enterprises step in and take on this unfinished development. Now, I don't have the details of exactly which park this is, but it's likely to be a park that is close to completion. Because if we were looking at something where there's a lot more work and development to be done, this isn't the right sort of deal because the companies that have bought these assets are not property development companies. These aren't trading businesses. These are investment vehicles. So all they'll be doing is hiring in some subcontractors and third parties to complete the build. So the statement that's been issued by the authorities alongside these sales is that the reason for these transfers is to focus on completing these assets. So I think the theme park that's been taken over here must be very close to completion, but it is a surprise because the problem with the theme parks that I've talked about before is that there's no sale of that asset. You're not looking to complete the build and therefore you take in the balance of what's due as you are with an apartment. This is something that you open it and then you have to wait for quite a number of years before you start seeing significant cash flow coming through. So I think there's probably another deal around the corner whereby the authorities will look to sell the completed theme park to somebody else. There's no way they're going to leave it with Evergrande for Evergrande to then manage the theme park because they have no experience in that area. And as I've talked about before, it was a completely crazy idea to suddenly move from property development into running theme parks. It's a completely different business model. But surprisingly, one of the theme parks has been transferred. Maybe it was a PR exercise. Maybe it's been done just to try and reboot the concept of these Evergrande theme parks and try to bring them back into the public's attention and get them back on track because there's a lot of money been wasted. Evergrande reportedly invested over $100 billion into these 15 theme parks. So this may be a way of trying to recover some of that value rather than writing off the complete amount. So I wanted to talk about what Everbright Trust and Minmetals Trust are, because these are not property development companies and they're also not banks. So this is quite an unusual transaction. And these trusts are what's referred to in China as the shadow banking section. So we've got the official banks, some of whom are state-owned and some of whom are private, but all of whom report to the Chinese authorities. So there's an element of control within all of the banks. But the banks are seen to be independent. And the three red lines that was brought in 2020 was a way of trying to control the amount of lending that was in the Chinese economy. So all of the banks had to adhere to these three red lines and all companies had to report on the three different tests. And as we know, Evergrande failed all three tests immediately and has essentially been in default officially ever since that three red lines policy was brought in. Now, these trusts are investment vehicles that have been brought into the economy as a way of providing additional finance and funding to business. So they sit outside the banking control and the banking regulations, and they don't have any covenants and they don't have any issues with regards to default. And there are a lot of private trusts that have been established, and a lot of this money's been invested into wealth management products and other areas. So Evergrande has its own trust and reportedly raised somewhere in the region of $15 billion for wealth management products. And we believe that around about $6 billion of those wealth management products are still outstanding and due to be repaid. But some of these trusts have been set up via the government. So these are state-owned trusts. And both of the companies that have bought these assets from Evergrande are state-owned trusts. So essentially, this is government money that is sitting outside of the banking sector and therefore doesn't have to adhere to the same rules and regulations as the bank money does. Now, the terms of the deal that's been agreed is technically the sale of a stake in these projects. So it's not an outright sale. It doesn't transfer the assets lock, stock and barrel to the state trusts. It hands over the assets. It hands over the debt. And I'll talk about that in a minute in terms of the right to debt that's been exercised by these trusts. And it gives the trusts the authority to complete the build. Now, theoretically, at the end of the build, if there's some profit left, so once the build's completed and all of the apartments are handed over to the buyers, if there's some profit on top of that, then in theory, that is meant to be handed back to Evergrande as part of this arrangement. So basically, these state-owned trusts are stepping in like a caretaker. They're coming in to complete the job and then hand back any residual profit to Evergrande. So very unusual arrangement. And the question here really is, why have these assets not just been given straight to the property developers? And I've got an answer to that, so stick with the video and I'll tell you exactly why this has been done in this way. The sale of the stake in all four of these projects has been transferred along with a right to debt. And what that means is that the state-owned trusts have taken over all of the debt that relates directly to the assets that they're now managing. Now, the big question that you're probably asking is, why would they want to do that? Why would you want to take on Evergrande's debt? Because then, theoretically, you'd be in exactly the same position as Evergrande. You've got too much debt. How do you complete the build? Now, there is a very good reason for this. If you think about the Evergrande situation, the way Evergrande manages its build, it uses debt to buy the asset, and then it uses a large portion of debt to complete the build. So it funds all of the third parties that it uses to do the building work via debt. Now, since the three red lines policy was brought in by the government, Evergrande went into default. And once you're in default, you can't access any of your debt. So it may have had large facilities available, some overdraft facilities or undrawn commitments that were due to be paid to Evergrande at certain stages throughout the build. And as soon as they triggered all of the three red lines, they would no longer have had access to any of that debt. So that put Evergrande in an impossible position because it needed to access the money to complete the build. It couldn't access the money and therefore it had to stop all of the builds. And that was a big problem for the Chinese authorities because they want these apartments to be completed so that all of the buyers can take ownership and move in. So by moving the asset to the state-owned trust and moving all of the debt with it, the state-owned trusts have not triggered any three red lines policies. In fact, they're not even subject to the three red lines because they're not actually property development businesses. They're just trusts. So that means that by moving all of the debt, it will open up all of those facilities that have not been drawn down. So therefore, the state-owned trusts can then access the cash. They can then pay all of the third parties and the subcontractors to complete the build, and then we can get all of these apartments completed. So this is quite a smart move by the authorities because they don't need to get anybody to come in with a large amount of cash to complete the build. All they're doing is identifying sites where there is sufficient amount of debt facility available but not open to Evergrande. And they're moving those sites and they're moving the debt so that they can then unlock that cash, get the build completed and get people moved into those apartments. So that is the main driver behind those deals. And it must also relate to the theme park deal. So I think this is why this theme park is now transferred over to a state-owned trust, that Evergrande must have had a big facility. They didn't have a spare 100 billion kicking around to build all of these theme parks. So they must have a debt facility in place, but were unable to access it because of their situation. So by moving the theme park and by moving the debt, then it allows somebody else to pay for that build and therefore get the thing built. So the right to debt transfer is actually the main driver behind all of these deals. And I think it's likely that we will see more of these sort of deals being put in place because it then enables a lot more of these developments to be completed. So under the terms of the agreed deal, Evergrande has the right to buy back any remaining equity in any of these projects. And Evergrande has estimated that they may be able to recover up to 312 million of equity and repay up to 1.1 billion of debt if things go to plan on all four of these projects. So that sounds great in theory, but I think realistically here, it's pretty unlikely that the state-owned trusts are going to declare a major profit at the end of these four projects. They've got to pay subcontractors and third parties to complete all of these builds. And we've got a situation where a lot of these third parties and subcontractors are in dispute with Evergrande. They haven't been paid for the last 12 months. There are a lot of lawsuits that are building up against Evergrande from all of these different companies. So I don't think there's any goodwill. I don't think anybody is looking to do Evergrande a major favor here. But also, from the state's point of view, Evergrande is a private company. It has a lot of debt. It's going to go into bankruptcy. It will be closed down at some point, and all of the investors will lose a lot of money. So passing back any profit and any capital to Evergrande is really just a waste of time from the state's point of view. So I would be very surprised if we see any of the 312 million of equity value and the 1.1 billion of debt repayment moving back to Evergrande at the end of these four projects. The main driver from the authorities' point of view is that they want all of these developments to be completed. They certainly want all of the apartments to be built out, and I think they're going for the theme park just as a face-saving exercise, just to show that it wasn't a complete shambles and a complete write-off, the whole 15 theme park exercise that Evergrande got involved with. But I don't think we'll see any profit going back to Evergrande. So the obvious question to ask here is, why have the government not used the state-owned property development companies to buy these assets rather than the state-owned trusts? They are the obvious buyer. They're the people who are geared up. They have development businesses. They have employees. They have the knowledge. And it is the obvious transfer. So it seems a bit strange that the government have used these trusts. But I think there are two main drivers for this. I think, firstly, the state-owned development companies are now overwhelmed. They have got so much business. They've been taking assets from a lot of different property development companies that are in distress. And there comes a point when you can't expand any further. So I think they're getting towards the point where they are now overwhelmed and they can't really manage any more sites. But we've also got this factor of the debt facilities. So I think the new angle that the state is looking at today is looking at what facilities can be unlocked by moving these assets into an investment vehicle. And the state-owned trusts, the shadow banking sector, is the perfect place to move it into because they can then unlock all of those debt facilities and arrange for these assets to be completed using the same debt that Evergrande has in place, but just unlocking it by not being in breach of the three red lines. So although the state recently brought in some new regulations that said that any assets that are moved to state-owned property development businesses are excluded for the three red lines test, it might be difficult to unlock those same facilities as a property development business. So I think the government have come up with a loophole here, a way of getting everything done using the same amount of debt, but just unlocking it. So essentially what we're seeing here is a reduction in the three red lines policy. So the three red lines was brought in to stop all of these property development businesses that are over leveraged and were over trading and were not profitable. And what they're now doing is looking at backdoor ways of getting access to that same amount of debt. So effectively, they may as well just remove the three red lines policy and allow Evergrande to be able to access all of this debt because they are going to be using the same form of contractors, whether it's Evergrande paying them or the state-owned trusts. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, what we're seeing here is a further erosion in Evergrande's asset base. We're seeing more of the attractive assets that Evergrande has being moved over into state ownership. It's been done this time in a completely different way. And there's a few reasons for that. I think, firstly, it's kept the headline figure down. So 337 million sounds like a very small figure when you're looking at over $300 billion of debt that Evergrande has. So it's almost lost in the roundings. Nobody's really paying any attention to it. But actually, these assets are worth a lot more than 337 million. They are worth billions. And they will have debt of billions attaching to them. But because we're just talking about the equity price, the price of the profit, the element at the top of the deal, then it keeps this figure low and keeps it off the radar. The second factor here is that by moving it to a state-owned trust, it's unlocked the banking facilities that are already in place relating to those assets. So it's quite a clever way of reopening up all those bank accounts and all that cash and using the same facilities that Evergrande already has to complete the build. Now, Evergrande can't access any of those facilities because it breached the three red lines and therefore is now in default with the Chinese banking system. So this is really a perverse way of Evergrande not being in default. It's a different way of approaching it, but the bottom line is that the Evergrande facilities will be used to build out these Evergrande projects. And the final issue here that I just wanted to touch on is that the state-owned development companies really should be taking on these assets. If that was the real driver, if the state just wanted these projects to be completed, then they should get the experienced operators to step in and complete them and take state ownership. But they're wanting to reduce the amount of headlines relating to the state taking off assets from people like Evergrande. So I think that's why they've used the state-owned trusts, because it doesn't really register, nobody's paying any attention to it, and it's also slightly complicated. So until you dig into the detail and get into what's actually going on, you don't really see this as something negative. It looks like it's a positive development. So where does this leave Evergrande, and where does it leave the situation with regards to its debt and the investors and everything that's going on in China? Well, this is clearly another step in the process moving towards an Evergrande bankruptcy. We're seeing all of the unfinished apartments being removed from Evergrande, and we're also seeing anything that's in a tier one city, so is important to the authorities and is going to have strong demand, being stripped out. I think all of the tier three and tier four developments, which are struggling to sell and areas that are less attractive from an economic point of view, they will remain in Evergrande until the bitter end. And at some point, we will have to see some sort of process. We've seen the Evergrande management team come out recently and say that they would like another 6 months to have a think about what plan they want to put together. They're really just buying some time, and we're seeing all of the good stuff being taken away. So by the time we get to the end of that 6 months, or if one of the bondholders manages to force the courts to take some action, at that point, I think it'll be revealed that Evergrande has very little left in the kitty and is certainly underwater in terms of its assets versus its liabilities. So we're still looking at major losses for all of the investors. We're still looking at a bankruptcy for Evergrande. We're still looking at the whole market being in free fall. What we're seeing, though, is some of the assets being taken away into the state sector, and that's likely to continue over the next 3 to 6 months. So I'll keep you posted of any further news and developments as and when I see them. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.